Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
New research out today reveals the extent to which young people actually avoid talking about their mental health. It was carried out by 508 08. It's a free phone 24/7 anonymous text service. It's funded by the HSC. That's who conducted or carried out the research, and their director Nicole Foster is with us here on Lunchtime Live today. Nicole, thanks for joining us on the programme. You might just give us a little bit of a background to the results, to the findings.
Hi, and thanks so much for having me. Sure, we surveyed just over 1,800 young people between the ages of 16 to 34, and we found that 44% of young people rarely or never talk about their mental health or well-being with friends or family, and almost half of young people are unlikely or very unlikely to reach out for support from others when they're feeling unhappy or stressed. And we also found that 90% of young people regularly respond to questions about how they're feeling with grand, fine, or okay, despite feeling worse than that word they used would suggest.
It's interesting, though, because with so much more, I suppose, talk and conversation and a focus through education and in school around people talking and an awareness around mental health, it's interesting to find that, you know, the guts of nearly half, 44% of young people are so rarely talking about it.
Yeah, it's really interesting. A lot of young people that we spoke to mentioned that they're really afraid of being a burden to someone else by talking about how they're feeling, especially when they're not feeling well, and they don't want people to worry about them. And so instead, they try to just fix the problem themselves or bury it so that it doesn't have to impact anyone else's life, instead of sharing how they're going through and maybe seeking support from people to help them get to a better place.
The research, as I mentioned, Nicole, is carried out by the 508 08 service. What is it that you do there?
Yeah, so we're a free 24/7 text service, and so we can be accessed by anyone texting hello to 508 08, and then they'll be connected with one of our amazing crisis volunteers who will work with them to just see how they're feeling and what the challenges that they're dealing with in that hot moment of crisis, and we'll work towards moving towards finding solutions for moving forward.
Stay with us, Nicole. It's 1894531106 if you want to join us here on the programme this afternoon. Norma O'Leary is also with us. Norma, how has the pandemic been for you?
It's been challenging. I'm a student in UCC, and I thought that sense of isolation, it can be challenging, everything with online learning. And it really, from my perspective, and I think even from being a crisis volunteer in the line, it really is about reaching out to others and providing that listening safe space.
Can you give us an indication of how many, you know, kind of calls that you'd, or responses from people that, you know, you'd field on a kind of a daily basis or weekly basis?
Yeah, absolutely. So as a crisis volunteer, we've all signed up to do a 4-hour weekly shift. So I usually do mine on a Friday, and really you come across a wide contingent of cases. You come across people who are struggling perhaps in school academically and for relationships, and all the way up to self-harm and suicidal ideation. And it really, there is a wide variety of cases, but from, I suppose, for people on the onset, there is a tendency to say, I'm grand, I'm fine, and as Nicole mentioned, not putting a burden on others. But it's when you really listen to them and provide them with that safe, open space, and let them know that you're there for them, that's when people start to open up. So I think from a young person's perspective, we instinctively brush things off and we carry on with our day-to-day lives, and the pretense, it really can be exhausting. So it really is about making it an open, safe space and encouraging others, because communication is a two-way process, and people can be afraid of that reaction, you know, that stigma, or people don't know how to react to them, so we tend not to. And it's trying to, I suppose, change that mindset. And it's not an easy process.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you notice, Nicole, an increase in the number of communications over the last kind of 13, 14 months during the pandemic, really?
Over 60,000 conversations, and we've exchanged over 2 million messages. And definitely during lockdown, people were going through so much. And the beauty of text is that it can be accessed even when you're in a crowded house share or you're on the Lewis and you're struggling. So we found that even when there was announcements of restrictions increasing, we would have a lot of people reaching out to us just with a lot of anxiety and stress about what was coming next and the uncertainty of where things were going.
Kelly Hamilton is with us as well here on Lunchtime Live. Kelly, do you think these findings reflect how people feel?
Yeah, definitely. I know from my own personal experience over the years and my friends as well, we've talked about it. It's so easy to hide behind the wall of I'm fine. And I think that the main thing is just getting that first sentence out of I'm not doing okay. But definitely the findings, especially during the pandemic, when there's so much stress already there in other areas of people's lives, it's exactly like Norma said, it's the fear of, you know, putting more stress on others and not wanting to add that worry to it and to try and cope with it yourself. But it's so easy for that to bottle up and become too much to cope with. Like, I found in my past that I was going through so much, but, you know, you don't want to add that to someone else. And it got too much to handle at some points. But when I came out and I said it to people, when they found out what I was truly going through, I was met with unbelievable support. It was incredible, the understanding that I actually got once I was brave enough to come out with what I was truly feeling. And I think that it's just also to do with, you know, for decades, it was kind of thought that strength lied in just getting on with it and staying silent with it. And it was a big thing to hide those feelings. But I think we've grown so much and there's been so much progress done that has allowed us to accept that mental health is just as important as physical health. And to have that support and acceptance, like, it's amazing. The stigma, it's still vaguely there. And there's been so much work put to it that I think we've made strides in the last few years. But I think there's still a bit more work to be done in terms of realizing that what makes us human is our capacity to connect with one another and support each other in that way as well.
It's interesting when you talk about, you know, the other things that we could do, because part of the research as well looked at, I suppose, what things young people might like to see improved. And about 68% said they would feel better if they had more opportunities to talk about how they're feeling with people in their lives. What other things maybe do you think might work there, Kelly, or what else do you think could be introduced?
Well, I think that it's important that we check in on each other in certain ways. Like, you know, it can be a bit intimidating to want to talk about something. But, you know, if someone asks you how you are, it's immediate that you just want to say, I'm okay. And I think that instead of just leaving it at that, if someone says that they're okay, it's about the way that we approach it. And if we ask, you know, carefully and empathetically, again, just to check in, that could make a huge difference in allowing them to see that this is a free space. This is a free and safe space for them to really open up and that there's genuine care there. Like, even if you just say to someone, like, if they're finding it hard, maybe to talk about what they're going through, to say, I'm here for you and I want to help you and you can take the time you need with me. Okay. Like, just making sure that it's not, you know, time limited or anything, giving them the opportunity to gather their thoughts and feelings and just making sure that it's not judgmental, that it's they're not being rushed, and to just make sure that they know that when they need you and if they need you, that you're there.
Yeah, just even genuine, you know, as you say in that approach. Can I just ask you finally, Kelly, do you ever feel that your, you know, young people's concerns or their worries might be dismissed in any way?
Absolutely. I've well, from volunteering on the platform, my shifts are usually night shifts on the weekend, and there's a high volume sometimes of textures. And a theme that I've realized with it is that a lot of people will text in saying that they got the courage to open up to their loved ones, and they would often be told, "You're doing fine, you're grand, don't worry about it, it'll work out." And they've also been told, like, you know, someone will say, "Oh, well, I have it worse, I've got this going on," or it'll be redirected from them. And I think that that's a big issue, because it's something I've noticed comes up a lot, even in personal life when I talk to my friends and they come to me with their problems. They'll say that they tried to talk to their family, and their family will just completely, it'll be washed away. Mm-hmm. It will not be dealt with. And I think maybe there's a fear of going back to that. And that's why, from experiencing so much dismissal, that people feel it's easier to just deal with it and bottle it up, because they don't want to feel dismissed on top of what they're already feeling.
Okay. Nicole Foster, the director of the service, the 50808 service. If there's people tuned into us here today on Lunchtime Live, Nicole, that, you know, maybe want to get in touch with you, it's just obviously through that text number.
Yeah, you can just text hello to 50808 any time of the day and night, and someone will be with you very shortly after you send that message, and will be asking you to share a little bit more about what's going on for you in that moment.
Okay. Nicole Foster, Kelly Hamilton and Norma O'Leary, thank you for joining us here on the programme. We were talking about the new research that's out and reveals the extent to which young people are avoiding talking about their mental health, despite the fact that they should and need to as well. Declan Keenan is a community worker with a project called Just Ask. He's here with us on the show. Declan, what are you seeing in your own work?
Hi, Andrea.
How are you?
Look, we knew before this pandemic even hit us that we were in a crisis with young people's mental health. You know, we were hearing psychologists saying they were over-medicating young people because it was just too big of a deal to deal with. So we see physically the effects of the lockdown on young people, and we're hearing that it's a ticking time bomb of mental health issues for young people. So we know that it's happening.
When you say you're a youth worker, Declan, what does your own kind of day-to-day job entail?
Okay, so we'd run an after-school club called Just Ask, and the ASK stands for after-school club, spelled with a K. So, like, normally young people would come in after school, they would get something to eat, they'd have some time with, you know, to do homework, and then they'd have time to connect with people. And I think that's the real thing that's gone missing in this pandemic, is that connection for young people, especially in struggling communities where young people, you know, might rely more heavily on other services than their family to speak and to be listened to and to be heard. And it's not that our family won't or can't do that. It's just young people in any family situation just find it hard often to speak with your parents, you know. Sometimes with your parents, you know, they only have to say one word and it starts an argument rather than a conversation, you know. And then if families haven't learned how to take some time out, maybe, you know, say, listen, we'll meet up once a month, we'll go have breakfast, we'll go and just do something that's just going to be good where we can just talk. Well, then they don't have anything else to fall back on.
So you're dealing firsthand, really, on the ground, Declan, with young people, and, you know, in particular, as you mentioned, like when the schools closed during the first part of the pandemic and all of the after, you know, school clubs, like you mentioned, your own and Just Ask, they would have all been halted and stopped, obviously, or suspended during that time.
It's all been shut down. Yeah.
Is it hard to kind of make up that ground or that time you've lost?
It's unbelievably difficult to try and reconnect with the amount of young people who would have came into our service. One of the things that's probably connected with this is that we are working with a small group of young people. VHI and the RSU Foundation have funded it, and It's to try and help young people reach other young people with how do we get positive coming out of this pandemic. And they're doing a program called, they've renamed it Five Vibes. And so they're going to get the message to young people that you need to do five things every day to keep your mental health positive. You need to connect. You need to contribute in some way. You need to stay healthy. You need to accept yourself. And you need to be aware of your own thoughts. So they're going to try and put that across to other young people in the inner city community here that we work in and try and really raise, you know, positive mental health. Because one of the things that really strikes me, and it struck me as a young person going doing social studies, was looking at the amount, the large mental psychiatric hospitals that were in just my own city, Dublin. They nearly matched the physical hospitals that were dealing with every other problem. So it's not something new. It's something we know about for a long time. And it's something that we hid away in the past. And now, you know, we're coming to a stage where, you know, helplines have to be set up for young people. It's at such a crisis point. We understand that. We need to get back working with young people face to face. Young people are tired of wearing masks and not being able to be seen or be able to connect. A youth worker is normally able to pick up those, you know, tells from a young person when they come that they want to talk. You know, they don't come and say, hey, come on, I want to talk. They'll come and they'll give you little signals and you have to pick up on them and follow through that way. And that's all being taken away from young people at the moment who rely on services like our own.
What are the things that parents can look out for just when you talk about those kind of telltale signs that the likes of yourself, professionals, will notice, Declan?
Sure. And I think one of the things we're seeing with our young people is they're spending a lot too much time in bed. You know, they're spending the daylight hours in bed and they're up all night. You know, they're online. It's not healthy for them, you know. So I think conversations need to be had with young people. Now, listen, come on, we need to get up. We'll go to the shops. We'll do something healthy. We'll do something. A parent will know that their young person is out of sorts. But if it's always going to cause conflict, if they bring it up, you know, if they say it in the wrong way, are you all right? Is everything fine with you? You know, and it's just, yeah, leave me alone. That's difficult. So they need to sit down and say, listen, it's time to let's just sit down and have a talk. Let's go and have a milkshake together. Let's go and
just make walk the time
in the park together.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. Listen, Declan Keenan, thanks a million for getting in touch with us here on the programme. Declan is a community worker, as he said, with the Just Ask project.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.